And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
The Methodist Church of Great Britain has debated proposals that could see it enter into a full communion agreement, including the interchange of ministries with the Church of England. The proposals are contained in the report Mission and Ministry in the Covenant, which was published last year. The C of E's General Synod debated the report in February and called for additional work to be undertaken on it. This week, the Methodist Church adopted a similar motion at its annual conference, which is meeting in Nottingham. The proposals would see future presidents of conference being ordained as bishops in the apostolic succession and have the title President-Bishop. As Methodist presbyters in Britain are ordained by the conference, this would mean that, should the proposals be accepted, future presbyters would be ordained by a bishop in the apostolic succession. The C of E is being asked to recognise existing Methodist presbyters who haven't been ordained in the apostolic succession as a bearable anomaly until, over time, all future Methodist presbyters are ordained under the new system and replace those ordained under the existing system. There is division in the Church of England's House of Bishops about the proposals, which are formulated by the faith and order bodies of both churches. The Bishop of Carlisle, James Newcombe, addressed the conference and acknowledged the lack of unanimity in the C of E. "Not all my Episcopal colleagues share my enthusiasm for an Anglican-Methodist covenant," he told conference representatives. "I am quite sure that not all of you are quite committed to it either. But, my brothers and sisters, I plead with you as I plead frequently with them to give it a go." Another C of E bishop, Anne Hollinghurst of Aston from the Diocese of Birmingham, also addressed the conference. She told them that things are deeply embedded in the culture, traditions and self-understandings of our churches, which would have to shift on both sides if they were to deal with the legacy of hurt caused by previous failed unity proposals. "If we are serious about mission together, we need to be serious about ministry together," she said. After a debate, the conference received the report and requested further work to be undertaken and brought back to next year's meeting. A black family mourning their mother at a funeral home in Maryland last Wednesday were put through hell by a priest who kicked them out during the wake and then called the cops on them. Hundreds of people had shown up to pay their respects to 54-year-old Agnes Hicks, when someone near the altar, going in for a comforting hug, accidentally knocked over the church's sacred golden chalice, sending the Reverend Michael Breeze of St. Mary's Catholic Church into an absolute meltdown. "That's when all hell broke loose. He literally got on the mic and said, 'There will be no funeral, there will be no mass, everyone get the hell out of my church,'" Shanice Cheesley, the daughter of Hicks, explained of the upsetting scene to Fox 5DC. "He disrespected our family. He disrespected my mother. He called my mother a thing. He said, 'Get this thing out of my church. Everyone get the hell out of my church.' It was very sad. I've never seen anything like that before." When the family and their mother in a coffin went outside, they were confronted by the sight of police. After the family spoke with the police, they determined the Hicks family had done nothing wrong. The police then escorted the mourners to a funeral home in a different county where another pastor finished the service. In yet another upsetting twist, family members who spoke with Fox 5 said their mother was baptized at St. Mary's and in her final wishes, she said she wanted to have a funeral there. "Bad enough we had to bury our own mother yesterday, but for you to say she's a thing and there will be no funeral, you're not a preacher, you're not a pastor, you're not a father of the Lord, you're not any of that, you're the devil," Renata Baker, another of Hicks' daughters, said. "My mum was supposed to have had a great funeral, and all this came up and I'm so traumatized by it. I'm going to be thinking about this every day. I'll never forget this day," David Cheesley, the son of Hicks, said. In a statement, the Archdiocese of Washington said, "What occurred at St. Mary's Parish this morning does not reflect the Catholic Church's fundamental calling to respect and uplift the God-given dignity of every person, nor does that incident represent the pastoral approach the priests of the Archdiocese of Washington commit to undertake every day in their ministry. The Archdiocese is still investigating the matter and have not yet announced what will happen to Breeze, who is expected to be making a formal apology to the family as well." The Church of England has launched an Amazon Echo skill which allows people to ask questions about God, Jesus and prayer. The Archbishop of York, Dr. John Sentamu, said the app was designed to help agnostics find out more about faith and the Church. Digital programs were a priority for development, he said. The Alexa program will allow users to ask questions including, what is faith? What do Christians believe? And who is God? They will need to install it by telling the device, Alexa, open the Church of England. It can also read the Lord's Prayer or say a suitable prayer for occasions including for the morning, evening or a grace before meals. The idea was coined following a Digital Labs event which explored how to use technology to evangelize and promote the work of the Church. It also plans to release similar skills on Google and Apple devices in due course. Figures released last year showed that the Church reaches 1.2 million people each month via social networks, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram and LinkedIn. This outstrips the numbers attending services at least once a month, which has shrunk to 1.1 million. At the time, William Nye, Secretary General to the Church's General Synod, said it must prioritize converting digital followers to physical congregations. Our challenge is to join up that growing online church life to the physical community of church that forms the body of Christ, he said. We're thrilled to be launching the Alexa skill to enable regular churchgoers and those exploring faith to connect with God in another way and a time that's right for them, the Archbishop said. A quarter of UK households now own a smart home device, and after transforming our national websites last year, this fast-growing area was identified as a priority for development. On a related subject, teenagers are spending up to 12 hours online a day, mindlessly swiping through social media without looking at any single piece of content for more than a few seconds, a unique study has found. For the first time, researchers used technology to record minute by minute what young people actually do on their smartphones and were shocked by the compulsive and superficial way they wasted hours scrolling through social networking sites. Typical was Olympia, age 17, who in one 24-hour period spent 3.3 hours on Snapchat, 2.5 hours on Instagram, 2 hours on FaceTime, 2.4 hours on WhatsApp, and 1.8 hours on Safari, a total of 12 hours. It's very fast scrolling of 1 or 2 seconds on each piece of content, sharing or liking, then scrolling again. It feels compulsive, it's very visual, it's quite shocking because it's very superficial, said Damon DeLono, Managing Director of Revealing Reality, which advises and researches for the regulator Ofcom, England's Children's Commissioner, and the BBC. When the researchers played back the on-screen records to show the young people what they'd been doing on their phones, the teenagers went into denial. They said things like, oh, it's not normally this boring, as if seeing it properly for the first time, said DeLono. Although children from lower income households are more potentially prone to such passive consumption of social media, he said, we are seeing more and more relatively highly educated girls from good backgrounds who are spending this sort of time on the screen. Olympia, who was revising for her A-levels during the study, told the researchers the only place she could relax was in the bath because she could not take in her phone, although she added she would take it in if it was waterproof. Others admitted they fell asleep at night while on their phones. Many frequently checked their phones during the interviews with the researchers. It's a form of immersion, a fear of missing out if you don't scroll through your social media. It becomes an activity in itself, he said. Among comments from the young people for the researchers were, I use it all the time because it's always there. I would feel lost without my phone. It's pretty much mindless. It's a waste of time, and I'm not really engaging with anyone or anything. The consequences were that they missed out on not only other activities, whether sporting or educationally, but also face-to-face communication by conducting relationships almost entirely through instant messaging or emojis. It is a dumbed-down way to communicate with someone, but it is a function of the smartphone because it's hard to write prose that says what you mean on such a device. It's easy to press a like button or send an emoji, said DeLono. The research warned of a potential link to increasing youth mental ill health and addiction, and it criticized social media firms for drawing in younger children through game-like elements like Snapchat Streets, which encourage them to update friendships on a daily basis, and filters where they can add cartoon images to their pictures. In their study, one child had been online every day for more than 2 years to maintain an 800-day Snapchat streak with a friend. Snap streaks effectively turn social interactions into a game. They keep you on the app, he said. People need to reassess their relationship with smartphones, otherwise it can become all-consuming, where all the world and all relationships are seen only through the phone. As a result of the study, one of the research team's youngest members, a school leaver, was so shocked by what he saw that he deleted all his social profiles apart from two messaging apps. Churches are selling off their stained glass windows and organs to fund upkeep, a Church of England court has warned. John Bullimore, Chancellor of the Diocese of Derby, said that fears that churches would rip out valuable artefacts to raise money were well-founded. Ruling on an application by All Saints Church in Findham to remove a 150-year-old organ and install a kitchen and toilet, Mr. Bullimore said he shared the concerns of the organ advisor that small churches would sell off assets, furniture or fixtures and fittings because they are not really needed, or the mission of the church locally is more important. I do not think this danger is altogether fanciful, he said, adding that he previously heard a case where a church had sought to sell its stained glass windows to a Japanese firm to adorn some building for rest, recreation and refreshment thousands of miles away. Such items are part of the heritage and were probably first acquired in many cases as a result of many small and sacrificial gifts by a large number of parishioners and benefactors. The request had been turned down, he said, in part because it was wrong in principle for churches to look around their interiors in times of need to see what treasures they could dispose of as decorative items, whether they be unused pulpits or balconies or pews or windows or indeed anything else that might find a ready sale and raise some funds. He added, such items are part of the heritage and probably first acquired in many cases as the result of gifts. So in my own limited experience, I think the danger is real. However, he granted the church permission to remove the organ because its sale was by no means a money-raising scheme, and the change would allow the church to install better facilities. Britain's topsy-turvy weather is damaging churches, with more parishes than ever needing emergency cash. Dramatic weather patterns, including storms and flooding, have led to a growing bill to patch up England's thousands of historic churches. Eddie Tulsowitz of the National Churches Trust said the issue had been a particular problem during flooding in Cumbria during recent winters. In particular, roofs and wooden church fittings have been damaged by wet winters and hot, dry summers, leading emergency applications to the charity to reach their highest ever level. It's happening with lots of historic buildings. There has been flooding, which has affected Cumbria quite badly. We had to bail out some of the churches there. In the summer, he said, it's very hot and dry, and that affects wood. The number of applications for urgent repairs and maintenance funding to the charity rose by 44% between 2013 and 2017, from 328 applications in 2013 to 473 in 2017. The figure suggests that church roofs and drain pipes are taking a battering from wet weather, with almost half of the applications during one period connected to roof repairs or gutters. During the 2015-18 period, 45% of the 1,274 applications to the charity were for roof repairs to repair the gutterings. The figures come from the organisation's report, which marks 200 years since the creation of the Incorporated Church Building Society, a Church of England drive to keep the country holy, which led to the founding of many Victorian churches. Experts said another reason for the rise in applications is that many of these churches are now falling apart because they had reached a tipping point in terms of age. Many of them have also been converted to make them suitable for modern usage, including removing pews to make way for children's areas and space for concerts. Jill Headley, an associate charity, who has recently published a book, Free Seats for All, about the movement, warned that removing pews allows church buildings to fit the needs of the 21st century, but it also strips away a major part of the narrative behind some of our most iconic historic buildings. My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone and internet radio receiver,
This is Lutheran Radio UK.